Art and Bullshit Podcast. Art and Bullshit Podcast. Art and Bullshit Podcast.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Art and BS Podcast, the podcast for artists by artists. You already know what's good. We're pulling up here in the studio. We're at Broadway holding it down, the fucking mural district, whatever the fuck it's called. We're here. We're live. And I'm in the studio. I know that I don't sound like your typical host. I know you might be wondering, where am I right now? You know, what's going on? New listeners, pull your socks up. Hold tight. We're here. We're going to hold it down. This shit's about to fucking get crazy. It's a new year. Returning guests, returning family. You already know what's up. We're always trying new things here in the lab. We're always cooking. We're always fucking hitting you guys with some new shit, some new refreshers. Maybe you don't like James as a host. Maybe you don't want to listen to his voice this week. Well, today is your lucky day because Mardika, I'm going to be holding it down. I'm going to be fucking, you know, interviewing this shit. Let's just get some housekeeping out of the way real quick. I just want to let you guys know and update you that today I'm going to be taking over the show as the host. I'm going to be interviewing the one and only. You guys already know. We'll get to it later. Just hold on tight. And I'm going to continue to fucking, you know, explain what's happening as we go along. I do want to appreciate everyone that came out to the group show, and it means a lot, you know, everyone who shared it, all the people that showed love, all the people that showed up both times, you know, for the opening and closing reception. Shout outs to Fulton Street Coffee again for holding it down. And so, yeah, we're just gonna fucking jump right into it. Let's play a little bit of music, you know, fucking something for the new year, something, festive and shit. I don't know, just to get your mind right. And
you saw me just get out of the whip. I mean we're here.
Ill nigga alert. Alright, so this one's for the broke boys. I know it's the holidays and we all just fucking spent our shit on the fucking gifts. And you know, the reason why I'm playing this song is because, I mean, it, you know, you're broke after buying fucking gifts for everyone, dude. Like, I don't care who you are, you know, like, that shit's hard. You start thinking, you know, one person and the next and their family and their mom. And I wish I could just give everyone hugs.
Shout out to all the podcast family, all my painters, where you at, all my niggas.
We got a sneak appearance there. I wonder who the guest is gonna be.
I got more stripes than Adidas.
Yeah, I got the stripes, but fuck Adidas, nigga.
I don't chase bitches, I leave them.
Hoes screaming like I'm
chasing. I don't get mad, I get even.
Hit you niggas like a buzzer beater, nigga.
I don't get mad, I get even.
Hit you niggas, then you go.
Yeah.
All that foundation she wearing, she thinks she's
right, guys.
Telling all my sneaky links you with
see.
Me. You must be Coach K, cause
I'm
you
gonna play this shit because I've been a little paranoid lately.
I sit alone in my four-bedroom
standard candle. Just for all my paranoid dudes out there. Thinking they're girls with someone else.
And all I can't sleep, I toss and turn. Candlesticks in the dark, visions of bodies being
burned. Don't let those fucking thoughts get to you, man.
I'm paranoid sleeping with my finger on the trigger. My mother's always stressing, I ain't living right.
But I ain't going out without a fight.
Every time my eyes close, I start sweating and blood starts coming out my nose.
Put the blunt down.
Somebody watching me out. But I don't know who it is, so I'm watching my back. I can see him when I'm deep in the covers. When I awake, I don't see the motherfuckers. He owns a black hat like I own.
Art and bullshit.
A black suit and a cane like my own. Some might say take a chill.
How's everybody doing? How's the new year? What's your new year's resolution?
Trying to kill me. I'm popping in the clip when the wind blows. Every 20 seconds got me peeping out my window. Investigating a joint for traps. Taking my telephone for text.
Now I'm gonna play some. I'm gonna play some real smooth shit for all the fucking real folks out there.
Art and bullshit podcast.
I'm not fucking around. You're trying to impress that girl, man. Show her what the fuck is up. Get her, let her get that $300 steak.
Art and Bullshit Podcast.
A man! The big payback. Got to get back. I need some get back.
This is a hard ass fucking song.
Art and Bullshit.
And James Brown knew exactly what the fuck he was doing when he wrote this shit. Oh my god, this shit is crazy, dude. Smoke it if you got it, sip it if you got it, you know what's really good.
Art and Bullshit Podcast.
Payback is a thing you got to see.
Art and Bullshit.
You always talk all that talk, but I don't really see you walk that walk.
Art and Bullshit.
Are you really bobbing your head at work right now? Keep those AirPods in. You ain't trying to get fired, man. You don't want the boss to know what's up in your, what's in your ear right now. This is that NSFW shit. You don't want to play this shit around your kids.
That's where I land.
You don't want to play this shit around your baby mama. Just start asking all these questions. What the fuck you listening to? Why are you bobbing your head at fucking 2 p.m. on a Tuesday? Because I'm bumping fucking Art and BS. It's a party over here, man. Smoke it if you got it. Sip it if you got it.
Art and Bullshit Podcast. Art and Bullshit Podcast.
We ain't fucking around this year. I don't want you to give up on those resolutions. A lot of you already gave up on the gym. We're 2 days into this bitch. I'm a cuss a lot too, so if you don't like that, tune out. Or you know what? Keep it playing, because we need that listen. Support, too, man. Like you're just getting this shit for free, dude. Like, you're fucking driving trucks for a living. You make 10 grand a month. You don't see your family half the fucking time. And I keep you company. I'm here for you. And you can't give me fucking anything? You know? Cash App, Venmo, I got it all. Fuck is wrong with you? You're out there fucking. I'm keeping you out of depression, bro. I'm sorry. I don't want to talk to you guys like that. You guys are, what the fuck? You guys are good people. You guys fucking always show love. Thank you for the fucking pouring support that I've been receiving.
We just gonna use that as is. Yo, my grandma bumped this shit, bro. Dead ass.
All right, guys, so enough playing around. Again, going back to the new listeners, I appreciate you guys for tuning in and, just be showing interest, like wanting to expand your mind and wanting to know more about art in general and also some bullshit, So we're about to get into it. You may have read his book, How We Got Here. You may know him as the host of Art and BS. He's a lord of the landscapes. A staple of the still lifes, proficient with the portraits, captivating with the clothing line, an all-around student of the arts, here with us today in studio, James Gerald. James, welcome to the show. You may be familiar with the format and how it works. Or you may not. I don't know. I don't want to assume anything at this point, but I mean, you created this shit. So, how does it feel? First of all, how does it feel to be sitting on the opposite side of this whole thing?
I'll tell you what, it's entertaining. Great job. I'm real pleased and impressed with that intro. Like, that was, I'm like, wow, okay. okay, this guy's kind of, yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that at all. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Like in the Belly movie, you know what I'm saying? Get my Rico on with my banana, you know? Uh-huh. That was a great, great intro.
Dude,
let's get some air horns from Artica, man.
You know, it's like, I've listened to this shit since episode one. Mm. Here we are now, past 100 episodes. Mm-hmm. Getting close to the 150, mm-hmm. and you just think about like the progress and the fucking the journey, and yeah. I've been through it all, and so it felt good to be on this end too, like fucking introing it. I mean, come on, man, like who wouldn't want to, you know, like intro their favorite fucking show or whatever, you mm-hmm. know? So it's a privilege too to be here, and yeah, like I mean, fucking, we're just gonna, you know, jump right into it, dude. Like I don't want to fuck around. I'm not here to fuck around. And if I was, then I would have not shown up, you know? And so, I think all the listeners want to know, what was your first, what memory seeing art?
My first memory seeing art, I would say, you know, I mean, like, art in the way I would think of it, probably cartoons. Transformers probably really stood out to me in kindergarten. I remember being in the Transformers real heavy, going to the movie theater with my pops to see the Transformer movie, and I cried when Optimus Prime died. Spoiler alert. Uh-huh. So yeah, that was like,
so you're about 5.
Yeah. So I would say that's probably my first memory seeing like art in an astounding form.
You know? Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then it was like the first time when you were able to, in your 5-year-old mind, kind of conceptualize the fact that this is something that people do for a living, or this is something that.
No, I just saw there are these cars that transformed into people and then they were cool. Okay. There was no correlation of a person that makes this thing until I would say, because even like in elementary school with drawing, I never thought like, oh, like who drew Earthworm Jim, or like who, you know, a lot of people talk about like Jim Lee and things like that. I mean, I read Deadpool comics and X-Men comics as a kid. You know, I was really into Marvel, you know, Spawn also, you know, Image Comics and stuff. But I never really, you know, I kind of put like very little stock in who was making the thing. Mm-hmm. I think it wasn't until really graffiti that I really started to associate people with making a thing, right?
Before that, you just kind of, it was a visual, it was right, just, it was like something, was like a movie or, or just, well, you didn't really think, right?
No, I mean like, cause you know, in elementary school, we kind of see, you know, there's, I think that there's like classic things that we all would see, like, for example, Coca-Cola ads with like Santa Claus, you know, and those being like reference to Norman Rockwell's paintings. Right. I never really thought like, oh, like this is a reference to like this particular artist in the Saturday Evening Post or anything like that. It was always just like, I never really gave thought to who made the thing or how it was made. It was just, I mean, just like watching cartoons, it was never, you know, like, oh, who drew Darkwing Duck? Or like, who's the guy who came up with Snake Eyes from G.I. Joe? You know, it was just like, oh, I like G.I. Joes.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Because you kind of, you grew up just like watching these cartoons. And yeah, you never think of that. Like, I never did, you know? Mm-hmm. I never thought like who drew SpongeBob or Bugs Bunny or, you know, you just kind of see them as their own like entity and their own, you know, they have their own whatever, like you you know, it's just not something that you think of as a kid. But as you start getting older, you think, you go back and then do your research and think, oh my god, like this dude like fucking created Bugs Bunny while he was like relapsing on meth, or there's always some crazy story, you know, there's always some like, oh, the guy that wrote Powerpuff Girls killed his fucking ex-wife and you know, strangled his cousin or whatever. I don't know why it got so dark, but there's always some crazy story to this shit, you know, like the Rick and Morty, whatever, you know, like, but just because artists are, you know, crazy people, we're fucking, you know, we're the weird side of the, you know, I don't know.
Well, and I think that's answering that question and really thinking about it, because I often tell the story about, you know, my dad showing me how to draw a cube and saying, hey, I'm going to teach you how to draw. He called it a box. But I don't think, you know, I think that was a little later, maybe, you know, like the whole Transformer thing, that was in the beginning, you know, and that's kind of something that got me and like, oh, okay, these, you know, from cartoons to comic books to, you know, to anime and okay. stuff like that. So, yeah.
All right. So, so you recently had a group show
mm-hmm.
in December, right?
Mm-hmm.
So last month of the year mm-hmm. had a kind of closed it out with like a big group show. Mm-hmm. And, I was fortunate enough to like be a part of it, you know, and fucking, it was cool, you know, to have some of my pieces. So thank you for that. And so any thoughts on that and on the kind of group show and how it went, or if, you know, if there was any obstacles that got in the way mm-hmm. or, cause I know that there was like, they were still kind of like last minute prepping for mm-hmm. getting ready.
Yeah.
And, I think opening reception, I think it was pouring rain that day. So, any kind of overall thoughts on that?
You see how this guy, great host. You know, it's really interesting because we had a few months. It was kind of like, hey, James, do you want to... Okay, so originally that show was supposed to be like me doing a solo show over there. But I just knew there was a bunch of stuff that I had been going through with life. So I knew I wouldn't have the amount of work to kind of fill that place at that time. So... Mm-hmm. I called up the R&BS family and everybody was down.
On some superhero shit.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, for sure. Like the Avengers
or whatever. Yeah.
The Avengers. Uh-huh. Like Avengers, I was on some Nick Fury shit and I called niggas, right? Real talk. Samuel, we here. You know what I'm saying?
Art and bullshit podcast.
So I think, yeah, the thing was there were obstacles. I think, and this is all a learning process. I appreciate all the artists because you guys have come out 2 years in a row and just, man, came with like killer work. Let me hit this pen real quick.
Sure.
Smoke it if you got it, sip it if you got it. You know what I'm saying? You know it's really popping. There are things that you can control and there are things that you can't control. So some of the things I couldn't control were because they were turning their coffee shop into a gallery. The coffee shop had moved next door in their old space. They're turning into a gallery. So, you know, they had to paint, basically finish the walls, paint, and then we were supposed to get some lighting installed.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something else that was supposed to happen. And the show was on Thursday, right? It's on the first Thursday of the month. The place wasn't ready until that Monday. So wow. Instead of, you know, all of the artists, you guys bringing your stuff down, you know, and us having time, it was like, all right, let's bring this stuff down as late as we possibly can, which was like Tuesday or Wednesday because the building wasn't ready. And still kind of smelled like paint a little bit in there. Mm-hmm. And so we got all the stuff, you know, in. Shouts to, Robert Amador for helping me hang the show. Shout outs to Vic and Masoyan for designing the signage. Shout outs to Martica for providing the signage. You know, I mean, these guys, the team really helped out. And right. It's like, man, the shit's like super.
And it's, well, and to stop you there real mm-hmm. quick, it's like, that's kind of how I see it. It's like, it's a group show. It should kind of be a group effort.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, it's not like you're doing it just to benefit yourself. If anything, it's the most like selfless thing out there to host and to put together this group show for other artists that, you know, I mean, are just ultimately kind of doing their own thing and they mm-hmm. have no plans of being part of a show maybe, but like they feel included in into this thing that you've created.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nice on all ends, you know?
Okay. I appreciate that. You know, and that means that mission accomplished. And I think it's cool because dealing with artists, there's all types of stuff. Like, I didn't really know. Okay, so one thing was like there was a particular artist, and he was like, "Hey, James, I don't know what to show, right?" And I was like, "Hey, well, you have these woodcuts. Why don't you show those things?" And he was like, "Oh, okay, like that would be a good thing for me to show. And, you know, it's so little things like checking on people, you know, making sure that things are, you know, wired or ready to hang. I think that these are all things that I've been learning because I'm new to this, you know, and dealing with artists, it's like, oh, okay. Like they're just like me. They all have a lot going on, but then it's my job to kind of make sure that this orchestra, you know, it plays in tune. So I do think that moving forward, I've kind of learned like, oh, okay, certain artists are good at these things. Certain artists are good at these things. And then how to speak to everyone as a group and provide them with options based on like what they're good at, you know, because some people are good at and some people are good at like marketing, you know. So it's like, hey, if you know, if you're good at marketing, you know, we could use your help. Or hey, if you you know, are good at this or good at that. And right. I feel like we have a pretty good core team. It's like who, like the runners, the gunners we have.
Yeah.
It's just,
It really is like positions almost like in a football team or something, you know, like you got your quarterback, like everything, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and yeah, it's interesting.
Well, and you know, and my whole thing, Martika, is I wasn't tripping off wearing all the hats that I had to wear because it's like, this is James, this is your baby, right? It's like, okay, it's R&BS, like whatever. And I think you and the rest of the artists, you guys being inside, you understand like, oh no, this isn't James doing this for James. Like, right. Mm-hmm. This is like him running around, like barging into the downtown Fresno office saying like, hey, here's stickers. Hey, put us on, you know, your calendar. This is James like saying, hey, Black Chamber of Commerce, like barging into their gala event and saying, hey, we have a opening. This is James like sitting in the gallery, you know, 6 days a month when he has a solo show, like in a few weeks. Like, so my thing is like, at least because I understand the hardships that I face. And I feel like if I personally can do a little bit to help artists, then it's gonna make it worth it. And then hopefully there's like this ripple effect that kind of, you know, raises all of the ships.
Right.
But yeah, I think that was basically, and the weather, man, the weather was, that just sucked. It, you know, it was raining. Fresno's not really a walkable city. But then also I think about like the days when I was sitting in the gallery and then, you know, we have that big old sign that says art show. And then I'm sitting and no one comes into the art show. People come up to the door and say, hey, is this the coffee shop?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it's a like gallery.
It's like a repellent,
you
know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, like that was kind of the thing that I was trying to figure out. How do I get people in here? You know, and then someone was like, hey, James, you need like a pretty girl to sit in the gallery. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. But like right now, you know what I'm saying? All my chicks got boyfriends, man. So they can't like, they're all like, you know what I'm saying? They be on some sneaky link type stuff. So like, they're not down for that. And I'm not like saying that is like, you know what I'm saying? What time it is, but man, these ladies, they out there, fellas, man, boy, you better watch it. But it's like, I'm doing this because I think it needs to be done in some sort of regard. And, you know, seeing how everybody treats these things, I'm trying to lead by example, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's interesting, man. And just one last thing about the show. I know that Will Portis showed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Yeah. You know what? Here's the cool thing about that is Will Portis is, for those who don't know, Will Portis is like, he's actually an art teacher now. He teaches over on the West Side, but he's probably the guy who, you know, he had a bunch of artwork in the African American Museum for years. He was like the resident artist. He's kind of like the Fresno, like, alpha dog black painter, right? Like, super OG. And then, and the thing is I had saw his artwork for the first time. And I usually tell the story about Mike Wagner and going to Mike's show. But the second show that I ever went to that had a black man as the talent and was a solo show was Will Portis in Mullins Gallery, which was where Liquid Fetish is now. And he had all of these black portraitures, like black portraits and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that having him come out to the gallery, because I've been emailing him and texting him and calling him and leave. I mean, bro, I was on this dude like he owed me money. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Respectfully, and just there was no contact. So he showed up and it was just like, wow, you know, like I thought you were ducking me, uh-huh. and then like you just show up to the show, like that's love. And right. then he said to me, he said, when black people invite me to things, I try not to disappoint them. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? So like when they're doing art related stuff and they're cooking, I'm like, wow, you know, like that means the world. So mm-hmm. that was, you know, getting on the radar of people who like, you know, are in the field and they know what's up. That's really kind of, right. that's a big thing for me.
Right.
Yeah, man.
And did he show up with the director of art group or no?
Oh, nah, man, that was separate.
That
yeah,
was separate?
Yeah.
Okay.
She showed up by himself. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, because mm-hmm. I thought that I saw a picture of the
yeah,
three.
Yeah, that was not. It was Melanie Glass and Byron. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay,
and then
okay.
so, yeah, and so that's, you know what I'm saying? They out there. And that's kind of cool when you have someone who's working on a future show or two future shows with you. And they're coming out to, you know, come out to support and see what's going on. And that stuff means the world, man, because
yeah, it does.
At the end of the day, it takes like 15 minutes. Like mm-hmm. these art shows, we're inviting everybody out, you know, and I think like, you know, I say at the end of every episode, you could be anywhere on the internet, but you're here with us and we appreciate that. And it's mm-hmm. not, that's not game. Like people listen to all types of stuff. You could put on some music, you could do whatever. Like same thing with an art show. You could go to, you know, the park, or you could take your family out to dinner, or you could like sit at home and watch Netflix. But the fact that you want to come out and look at this body of work from 15 artists, like whoa,
right,
you know, like
yeah.
that means a lot.
Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So then closing thoughts on the show.
I feel like it was pretty good. You know, I learned a lot moving forward. I think that I'll have a better grasp on like, hey, everybody, here's what I'm gonna do, and then here are like the things that as a group I feel like we can work on to make, you know, to make this thing pop a lot more. Because
right.
with artists, you know, I mean, like if you really did the numbers all together, like all like that whole group of artists, I mean, like we probably got like 20 to 30k followers cumulative mm-hmm. on Instagram if you mm-hmm. put like the whole pool mm-hmm. of artists together, like mm-hmm. you know. So it's like if everyone's pushing that out, then mm-hmm. it's just a whole wave and it's a whole movement. So I think, yeah, man, it's, and a lot of people were, you know, man, showed up. A lot of people, you know, came out. And I don't want to like single anybody out or name names or anything, but like this is just an overall thing, because I think with curating events or anytime you're doing a group show, you're dealing with a bunch of different factors. And if it's your idea, like you want to start this group show, then you're going to have to be the person who does marketing. You're going to have to figure out the flyer design. You're going to have to figure out how to hang the paintings. You're going to have to figure out who's going to man the show. You're going to have to figure out like who's going to be there for the load in and load out and make sure that the artwork is there and safe. You're going to have to figure out the pricing and like putting that all together. There's a bunch of things that people don't really think about.
Right.
When they say, oh, I'm going to curate an art show, or, oh, I'm going to start an art collective. And, you know, it's like,
yeah.
what does that really mean? You know what
yes.
I'm saying? I mean, we can play like we're curating and then do a shitty job, put people's paintings behind, you know, shelves and like, you know, I mean, like, you know, you go into a place and you see like a display stand and there's like a sculpture in it and then there's like a painting behind it. And it's like, what,
yeah.
like,
you and know, there is a big difference between curating a show and then just like displaying something, because
yeah.
it's like displaying, you could just place it wherever kind of,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like
mm-hmm.
you said, set up a 2x6 foldable table
mm-hmm.
and then you start, you know, putting all the things right there, whatever. And it's, I don't know, it, you know, well, I don't want to dog on it, you know, but there's a difference between
that.
This
is a safe space. We got to
yeah.
get our shit off.
Yeah, there's a difference between that and, like, the things that you've been doing. And it's, like, that is, like, the whole room you walk in and it's an environment that you walk into and you look around and everything is placed where it needs to be and everything looks nice and like, I don't know, just positioned correctly. and leveled and spaced, and there's thought and a science to it.
Yeah.
You know, that it's like, it's meant to be kind of eye level and kind of, you know, mm-hmm. like you think of everything. You have to think of all that.
Right.
As opposed to just, you know, hammer, nail, ba, 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 and just whatever, hang it and let me get this shit off.
Hang
and,
it like, you know, how it came in, right?
Yeah. So, no, it's like you mm-hmm. realize that, oh, if something's dusty, wipe it down. Mm-hmm. You don't want smudges on
right.
it. Like you know, like mm-hmm. if it's a sculpture, where am I going to place it? Do mm-hmm. I have a pillar to sit it on?
Right.
Is there a spot that's going to give it lighting? Is there lighting? You know, what's, so there's all these things that you have to think about to, throwing a show like that. And that's why, you know, I think, a lot of people applaud you for it and see what you're doing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And although sometimes, again, like, 'cause I remember being there for that opening night and just thinking like, wow, this is probably the best area to have an art show for Art Hop. Mm-hmm. And this night it's pouring rain. It's pitch dark outside, you know, like, and a few people were there, you know? And so, but that doesn't, you know, take away from what you put into the show, you know? And so I think that it's, you did a lot, like, you know, you put in a lot of effort to it and it showed, you know, 'cause mm-hmm. Was it Robert Amador that submitted those horses, right?
Yeah,
and they mm-hmm. were kind of post, you know, there was a perfect spot for them. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
So you kind of looked around and everything was just where it needed to be, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, you know, and it's one of those things where I think that the more we do it, because I was like, dude, this is only our second show, realistically. Mm-hmm. So when the more we do it, you know, and shout outs to Fulton Street Coffee, you know, they shouted us out. Shout outs to Downtown Fresno, they shouted us out. You know, I'll tell you though, man, mm-hmm. actually, never mind. I will say this, you know, it's one thing for people to help you, when it's not their job to help you. It's like when it's not someone's job and they're off the clock and they're providing support, that's when you know who's really got
that's
your
the
back.
Ultimate
you
love,
know what I'm
right,
saying? Because
yeah.
it's kind of like I kind of got shit twisted and I thought like, oh, XYZ like rocks with me. And it's like, oh, nah, we're just getting paid. Like, this mm-hmm. is our job. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like if it wasn't you, like, you're just the best fit for this thing, and then that's why, like, yeah, just yeah.
And
I don't know, man.
So James, so let's I'm picturing this whole thing as like mm-hmm. a VR experience, right?
Okay.
And so you kind of go, you have this main lobby where you're chilling, you're dancing, jumping up mm-hmm. and down, and you go into these rooms. Mm-hmm. So we just went into this room right now, and these rooms all have hats, all the hats that you wear. So this room, we just went into the curator hat. The show, you know, James is not only an artist, but he's also a curator and a host of shows and stuff. So we're leaving this room right now, right? We talked about the group show.
Mm-hmm.
And but now we have to talk about these hats. And so I'm picturing this room. You're looking around. It's like this, you know, walk-in fucking closet thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all these hats, you know? And so we're going to jump onto the next hat now.
Okay.
And that is... and first of all, like, it's crazy that you have, like, that's what I'm trying to get down to the bottom of. I'm trying to get to the bottom of how you manage it all, like how you David Goggins this shit, where, you know, it's like you pull time and
art and
you really stretch that 24 hours and make the most out of this shit. I don't see you taking a nap in the middle of the day. Like, it happens, and that's self-care, you know, and we all need it. But I picture you like just chiseling away at this shit. And so it's a beautiful thing. And so the next part of this is that you are an artist at the end of the day, you know, and that's what you are. That's what you represent. And so something big is going to happen this month. We're going to start off 2023 with a banger. And that's a solo show in Indy at Hoi Polloi Gallery. Oh, shit, man. Pop that shit off, dude. So
I didn't even think about it. Like, we're starting the year off.
Yeah, we're starting the year off like that. And so you ended it with a bang. You're starting it with a bang. Mm-hmm. What's on your mind about that? Are you ready? Are you prepared? It's in a couple of weeks.
Oh, hell my fucking nah. But you know me. I do everything until
you got about
the last
250
seconds.
Hours until the
yeah.
show.
Yeah. And the thing is, and there's going to be a lot of no sleep and rabbits pulled out of my hat.
The rabbits.
Yeah, there's definitely rabbits being pulled out of my head on this. You know what? What's crazy? I operate real well under pressure.
Yes, you do.
And I think that's like kind of why all of the hats are being worn, because it makes me actually have to focus, because the less I have to kind of move around, the more it's like, oh, you have to do this, then you have to, you know, like New Year's Eve, people were out and I'm like in the studio, like I'm doing this series of like letters. It's like a typography series. So I'm doing the whole alphabet from A to Z, right. And I'm sitting like down drawing letters. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, let me do these little 5x7s. For the show, because I want to have, you know, some little personalized paintings that people can buy, because, you know, people
that's awesome.
Like letters.
That's a, great idea, because it's 26 little original paintings, each, you know, with its own character, each with its own little vibe, you know?
Yeah.
I see you're doing different styles. Yeah. You're not, some are wild style. Mm-hmm. One is kind of more of a throwy look, you know?
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
And that's cool. It's more accessible. You know, they're little 6x6s, I think, right?
Or something? They're 5x7.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, it's a good size. It's a good, it's something that seems attainable to someone, you know? Cause sometimes people get freaked out when they see big shit or, you know, or whatever. They start to get a little spooked, but yeah, anyways, what were you saying?
Yeah. So that's kind of my thing, is always, you know, doing something. It seems like there's always something to do, whether it's like drawing or like trying to figure out who the next podcast guest is going to be, or like doing research for an interview, or, you know, working on a block print, or, you know, carving something, or, you know.
And so for this indie show, do you have a special body of work that you're taking? Is it a...
Yeah, you know, there is a... So this is kind of the... Okay, so the show is called From the Streets to the Gallery, and the premise of the art show is my journey from being in the streets painting graffiti to the gallery.
Nice.
So I'm borrowing, there are older pieces that some of my collectors have out in Indiana that will be in the show, and then there will be newer pieces that I have, you know, the typography series, some still life paintings, a few landscapes.
Wow. So a chance that the people out there might see the 8-bit Mario or the duck?
You know what? Actually, the 8-bit Mario, I need to call and see if I can borrow that back, because that is out there. I forgot about that. But, okay. Like, yeah, there are some other ones. The Duck Hunt, I'm not shipping that all the way there, because that shit's pricey. But the 8-bit Mario, I might have that in the show. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, okay.
That would be kind of cool.
Dude, that's awesome, man. Mm-hmm.
I didn't even think about that painting. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah. And so about how many pieces do you think you'll display aside from the alphabet ones?
I mean, aside from the alphabet, I'd like to have like 20 in the 20 total, 10 old, 10 new.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So aside from that, you know, we've been talking a lot about art, but this podcast also has another tag to it, and it's BS.
Hey.
So I think that we should just take a little break.
Yeah, because I gotta use the restroom.
Okay, so let's
so
do that.
We are back.
And we are back.
Art and Bullshit Podcast.
All right, everybody. So yeah, so I kind of wanted to hop out of that another room, right? So we're back at the lobby.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just kind of talked about your indie show a little bit, but we got to talk about some bullshit. Like, let's hang out in the lobby for a bit. And so with all this, you know, all this that you have going on, podcasts, clothing, and then your own work that you're always working on, what are some of the things that you do to just kind of wind down? Like, what, you know, is there anything that you've been watching lately or listening to lately? Do you listen to other podcasts? I mean, what is it that takes you away from art for a little bit, if you take any time from art?
I'll hop on. It's weird, because after Atlanta ended, there is kind of nothing that I look forward to on TV like that. But I'll do, you know, I'll watch stuff on YouTube. I'm you know, I'm real into battle rap, so I'll watch, like, you know, some matches or something like that. Let's see, who was a good one I just saw? Last one I really watched was, I think, Murder Mook and Geechee. That was the last one. And that whole, whatever card that was that? That wasn't Civil War. Anyway, oh no, actually I'm lying. I started watching 40 Bars versus Ill Will last night. So I did, on RBE. That was a good one. If you guys are interested in intergender rap battles, 40 Bars, she was writing her ass off. Ill Will, he ain't nothing to play with. Uh-huh. So, oh shit, that was me. You hear that? Fuck. Hold on, wait. Okay, wait. Okay, hold on. That's one of those chords. Is it still fucked up for you or no?
It sounds better.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right, so to relax, usually, or, you know, I'll watch a movie, do some reading. Mm-hmm.
You check that, do you fuck with, like, stop motion, right? Like, stop motion
like
movies?
Wallace and Gromit type shit?
Uh-huh, yeah, like.
Not in years, bro.
No? Oh, okay.
Why, there's some good shit?
Well, Pinocchio, it's like a pretty new movie, recently came out, Guillermo del Toro, and it's all kind of stop motion like that, and I don't know, it's something that I've always,
oh shit,
oh fuck, did you hear that right?
Okay. Sure.
All right, we're back.
Okay, I won't move that anymore.
Yeah, I've always appreciated that, smoke it if you got it, sip it if you got it.
Yeah, man.
I've always appreciated that art, you know, like, because it just takes so much time and fucking effort and shit, you know.
Stop motion is it's really good. I feel like I need to either. Okay, so I haven't really gotten into that. Oh, I did start watching the Bleach Thousand Year War Blood War thing.
Is that something new or what?
Bleach is like a anime manga,
right? Because I knew it was like around back in the day.
Yeah,
right?
But it ended like this the arc that we're on right now ended like 8 years ago.
Oh shit! So, okay.
But they needed to money and stuff like that, and it's a big arc,
right?
And I remember reading it and being like, whoa, because it's crazy. So seeing it in live action, because you can't really get a great scope of fights from just a panel.
Right.
And that's the thing that's kind of interesting about, like, reading things and then watching the anime is like, oh, like this one. I mean, it's really an art to narrow down a whole sequence into one little square.
Right.
Like, okay. I have to convey everything that happened in 30 seconds in one box.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, you know, the storyboarding aspect of it. But I find that phenomenal. And seeing the stuff in like an updated form, because I kind of forgot the story. Yeah, man. Boys is dying. It's hard. I'm with it.
Dude, okay. So usually, there's a popular question that you have asked your guests, me being one of them that has been on the other side of this, and shout outs to Big Sisters. And so one of the questions that you always ask is if you could, host a dinner, right? And who would you have? Mm-hmm. But I wanted to hit you with something different, but along that same line.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to write a murder mystery movie. Who's in it? Who's the bad guy?
Who's in? Who's in? How many people do I get to? These are actors.
No, these are anyone that you want.
Okay, who's in the movie? It's a murder. So it's like
could
Clue.
Be your mom.
It's
could,
like
yeah,
it's uh-huh. just like Clue, right?
Yeah, it could but be a famous person. Yeah, it could be an artist.
Okay,
could,
So five people, and these are all the people in James's game.
They could
Clue.
Be dead or alive.
Yeah, and this is like the Colonel Mustard, Professor Plum, Mrs. Green, all of that. Okay, so. Five people in this Clue game.
Hold on,
I just need, because this is what determines who I pick. Are we watching, like, is this, do I pick the people and then we watch, like, the movie? Or do I pick the, like, and then we actually get to see, like.
Yeah, you're writing the movie.
Okay.
You're directing.
Okay.
It.
Okay, so the five people that I want in this movie, and we gotta switch it up and do all types of, and make this thing, because the thing is like, number one, artists aren't gonna be tight in this particular setting.
That's
so
true. Yeah.
Let's go with. Okay, I'm trying to think of like.
I would think that you would have someone from like Wu-Tang or something.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, with me, I'm like, okay, let's Okay, so clue. We're going with the Dalai Lama. We're going with Nelson Mandela. Holy We're shit. Going with Dalai Lama, Nelson Mandela, right? Okay. We're going with Robin Williams.
Oh shit.
Marvin Gaye. And I feel like we need some, we need like a lady to turn up. Gangsta Boo. Rest in peace, Gangsta Boo.
Oh shit, dude. Mm-hmm. Wow. So you got Marvin Gaye, Gangsta Boo, Robin Williams, Nelson Mandela, and
Dalai Lama.
Dalai Lama, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you guys are all just having dinner, huh? Mm-hmm. You're hosting it probably. I don't know.
Yeah.
And okay. Who's the bad guy? What happens?
Oh, Dalai Lama's the bad guy.
Oh, Dalai Lama's the bad guy?
The murder happened in the library with the candlestick. Unfortunately, I bet it was in the basement with the wrench, and then I lost. So, boom, that's it, clue. Game done. Set match.
Damn, dude. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Art and Bullshit Podcast.
Yeah, that's... It's an interesting genre, you know? Like, I've always liked that, you know, genre of movies and stuff, because... Mm-hmm. It's just fun to play along, you know?
Yeah. I had to figure out the, because I didn't know if we were watching Clue or like, because remember the movie Clue and it had like Tim Curry in it and all that. I didn't know if it was that kind of thing, or I didn't know if we were playing. But okay, it's like, see, and now that I know that we're playing, I would have answered that way different. I was picturing like Dalai Lama in the movie is like Colonel Mustard, and like I was picturing him playing the girls. But now that I know that this is like, you know, it's a game that we've actually been talking about doing in real life with some of the, you know, the podcast family is Pictionary.
Oh, okay.
It's like hooking up and like, you know, like kicking playing Pictionary.
And mind you, I'm from another country, so I don't know a lot of shit.
Yeah, what's so Pictionary is like, shouts to Mexico, you know what I'm saying? Pictionary is basically like a game where you pick it has like a little deck of cards and then it says something and you got to draw it and then the other person has to guess.
Oh,
and there's like a timer.
Yeah, wow.
So, yeah. So
dude,
basically,
that's cool. I like that concept. Yeah.
Like a dictionary, but Pictionary. Okay, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, yeah. And the thing is it's not about who makes the best drawing. It's about does your partner or do the people understand what the thing is?
Right. Okay. Dude, that's awesome, man. All right, James. So we fucked around there for a little bit and got lost a little bit in the lobby with the snacks and with the fucking, you know, with the strippers in the corner twerking and shit with the art and whatever. And but now we're going to hop into another room. And this is kind of another hat, I guess, that you wear.
Bang.
And so you've done a series of shirts and hoodies and beanies and things like that, right?
Yeah, that's hold on real quick. Oh, can you hear that?
Yeah, we still got it.
Okay, I'm like that.
All right, let's see, and it's not gone. It's going crazy. Oh, bear with us, everyone.
Right there. It's this cord right here, bro.
Okay,
there we go. That's that. It's that cord. I'll edit that out.
Okay,
it's that cord though. Okay,
so. One of the other hats that you wear is kind of this clothing line. And so that kind of made me think of Art and BS as a whole, as a brand.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see it going 2023? It's a big year ahead of us. We're at the early stages of it. And this seems to be turning into something bigger now. It's kind of you've been making shirts and block prints. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you know, this work is just crazy. Like, just what goes into making those block prints and how, like, I mean, hands-on it is. And, you know, it really is, you're very interactive with it. And so what's happening with that?
Yeah, you know what's crazy is it's the first shirt I made said, ask not what the culture can do for you, but what you can do for the culture, right? Mm-hmm. So I just made that. I was like, yo, I'm just going to open up Photoshop, type some letters in.
With the turmeric.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what it was, right?
That was, okay. Did I die? Yeah, I think I dyed those shirts. Yeah, I think I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was Turmeric. And then the second one, we, okay, so, and then after that, we did Block Printed. I did the hoodies, mm-hmm. and then I did like the blue and then the pink. We got blue and pink. Yep. And I think, so, there's been an evolution. Eventually, I would like to get into screen printing. It's a little bit pricier to get, you know, is getting this initial run of like chemicals and inks and stuff like that. So the reason I do block printing is because there's a lower financial strain on me as a creator, you know, and the overhead isn't as high. Whereas, you know, it's like a block of linoleum, you know, you get those 2 for $15 and then like, you know, $30 for like 2 tubes of ink. And then, you know, whatever the shirts cost. So it's something that realistically I started not because I wanted to, but because I had to in the theme of like supplementing income and having another stream outside of selling paintings, because things, you know, they slow up. So food, clothing, and shelter being like the triangle of like optimal utility. It's like, okay, well, which one are we going to provide? Are we going to provide food? Mm-hmm. Are we going to provide clothing? Are we going to provide shelter? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
right.
It's like, okay, well, the lowest hanging fruit to me is clothing. You know, right. I mean, like, I guess I could like be a chef and like do food and stuff, but I don't like cooking that much to like make that my gig. You know what I'm saying?
The Art and BS chili. You know, like
it would be like we'd ask, man, not we, you know, like, man, he's, I don't even want to say nothing because people, you know, my ideas is crazy and, you know, niggas like to take my swag. But I'll tell you off, like, just if we had a menu, some of the stuff that we would get down with. But that's neither here nor there. We're talking about clothing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, realistically, it was a way to supplement income. And I didn't, when I first started, I didn't think like, oh, these are going to be like original things, because the first time I did it, it was really like I was kind of scamming niggas. Like, this is literally just me on Photoshop typing these words out, and then like Kirk from Root, shout out to Kirk, he printed the shirts up, and yeah, I hand dyed them. That was kind of like the part with the turmeric. But I mean, I literally, and to me, that's design. That's not typing some things, typing words into Photoshop and then printing them on a shirt. That's not like, you don't get, that's not fly shit to me. To me, that's like stuff your 4-year-old niece or nephew could do, right? Mm-hmm. That's like some brain dead shit. So, mm-hmm. and no offense to people who do that, but as what I'm trying to do, it's like, James, when I look in the mirror, I'm like, dude, is that all? Like, you should be able to like draw something and then make it into a shirt. Like, because what have you been doing this all these years for? Right. Mm-hmm. So I had never done block printing. And then it was like, okay, well, let me figure out how to carve this block. So boom, we did one. And then there was like the graffiti kind of thing, people like that. And then now, you know, we're doing the gramophone and the paintbrushes. And I think it really clicked to me this year. Like, whoa, no, all of these pieces are original. Everything that you get, like, that has this gramophone and these paintbrushes on them, it's different than the next thing. So in terms of quality, if you look, the shirts, I feel like, have increased in quality. We went from, like, just words on a shirt to an original drawing to, like, a comprehensive drawing that appeals to a wider audience. Cause I feel like the graffiti thing is kind of more niche, and like a gramophone, everyone loves music, art, like the brushes, people kind of, you know, it, in my opinion, I thought that would be more readily accessible, right, as far as like the visuals and stuff.
It's more inclusive, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting, Jay. So then, so you see yourself continuing to do that, and now it's kind of become something where you make these kind of limited edition pieces, these original pieces, really, huh?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And so they're starting to kind of get some traction. And I mean, I have the beanies and, you know, everything. I mean, I'm walking around sometimes just art and BS'd out and shit. Swat. In my fucking, you know, like
art and
I'm going to places, people are asking me what the fuck is, you know, like, and And I'm, you know, and I'm trying to explain to these people, I'm trying to like teach them the game and, and, you know, sell them the game too, you know, like fucking leading them your way. And, you know, like I'm out here, you know, for Art Hop sometimes dancing, you know, fucking jumping up and down.
We seen it.
You know, trying to tell people like, you know, where it's at. And, and yeah, you get a lot of window shoppers, a lot of lookers, but, you know, but in those crowds, there is some real folks out there that are willing to fucking look at this as you know, almost an investment, really, you know, like if you're really an art collector and if you really know what's up, and you could tell the people that have a vision, you know.
Well, and also I think that, like, you know, with the hats and stuff like that, that's more like marketing, right? And so is the clothing to a certain degree, but I think with the clothing, my goal is to, like, not only give people, because it's weird, Martica, like I feel as though I could do small batch runs, or I could just say, all right, I'm going to make paintings and just put these paintings on the shirt, and then that be it. Because a lot of artists, they do that, and it's like, well, that's all you get is a reproduction of my painting on this shirt. Like, I'm not doing all that. So I think that doing, you know, these block printed shirts, it's really, I hope that collectors and people who actually are into fashion kind of see, like, oh wait, this is kind of what goes into it. This is a piece of art that I can collect, and then maybe, you know, just like people are reselling, you know, you see Sotheby's, like, they're reselling things. It's like, oh, I have this shirt James made, and maybe it'll increase in value based on his artistic trajectory. Because, I mean, y'all, we here right now, but I'll tell you this, by the end of 2023, it's going to be a little different. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, man, stuff is changing.
That's awesome, James. So then I think that kind of concludes that part right there, and we're going to step out of the clothing fucking room again.
Okay.
Back into the VR lobby.
Okay.
We're just chilling, having a good time. One of the strippers left. Her shift is over. We're here, all the Art and BS families around us, we're turning up, we're bringing in the new year, you know. Do you have any like inspiration, that what inspires you, what kind of moves you to create? Is there anything like that, or is it just a natural thing that you've been doing your whole life?
I've always been creative in different aspects, right? So it's kind of my natural trajectory, but it's weird, man, because now I feel like there are things that I want to say, points that I want to convey. So when creating, is there a, sometimes it's slow down James, take a deep breath. Sometimes it's to experiment, like, hey, how does this thing work with this thing, this material? Sometimes it's because I want to figure out, you know, like, how do I paint glass? Or, you know, because I was thinking about that the other day. I said, wow, dude, like, you've painted glass a few times, and then this latest painting that you made, the one with, like, the Mickey Mouse and all that, like, that's, like, the best version of glass that you've ever painted. So it's interesting to kind of look at, like, the way I think about painting the material now, as opposed to when I didn't know what to look for. So I think it in my art career at this point, I'm inspired by the possibility of being able to do the things that I always wanted to do. Shouts to Gray Granite. When I was in Indianapolis, he said, James, you spent so much time trying to get here. Now you have to change your thinking because you're here. You have to stop, I got to get there mode. Now you got to start, I'm here mode. And it's a different mindset.
Right. Yeah, because it's hard to let go of being a student, you know, because it's like you'll be a student the rest of your life, in a sense. But yeah, to kind of let go of that mindset, like Granite said, and to realize, oh, like, I am hard, You know, like I do have the skills now.
Well, and it's hard for me. Like, that's the difficult part, Monica. Right, yeah. Like, if we're being, like, really vulnerable and transparent on this podcast, I think that trying to make my next thing my best thing is always, you know, something that I'm after. But I don't, it's weird. I have these moments, but do I, is it like, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm the shit, or I'm fucking filthy. I mean, like, realistically, I don't think so. I try to be real with myself, and I'm always like, it's fucked up, bro. But I'm always looking ahead, like, oh no, like, you still need to figure this thing out. You still need to figure that thing out. Because if I've been doing something for longer than someone, or if I've had the access to certain individuals that kind of put me in position to learn, I can't really feel like I'm better than someone who didn't have those same opportunities. Mm-hmm. Like, so I'm never like looking down on niggas like that. It's always like, you know, with me and my artistic practice, like, fuck, dude, like, this could have been better. All that, like, this is, you know, and yeah, it, yeah.
But
I was like, yeah, so I mean, right. I feel like I'm mid, like, I'm all right. Uh-huh. Like, am I whack? No, I was like intermediate, kind of, like, you know what I'm saying? So that's kind of where I, like, you know, I was thinking about the show and I was like, dude, like, we had a bunch of great artists. Like, do I feel like I'm in like the top 7 of them? No, like, and we had 15 niggas. Like, I'm probably in like me, I feel like probably bottom 5. Like, if I was like to rank like my favorite to least favorite in the terms of like totality and what these people do. However, that's me looking at me, you know what I'm saying? And I think that my view of my work is skewed and maybe alienated due to my experiences, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
And I think that, that's one thing that, you know, me being an artist too, and you know, like, just understanding the things that you're saying, like, you know, fully, because like, oftentimes you want to compare yourself or compare your work, or
like, can I tell you something that you do better than me?
Yeah. What?
What you, one thing that I can, that I admire about you is, like, in the show, you're able to take two different approaches and put them together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, this is just, okay, that's this approach, that's that approach. Bang.
Uh-huh. Oh, right. Like as far as the drawing or painting and stuff. Yeah. Like, media or whatever, like, genres of art, I guess, or whatever, huh? Yeah. Yeah, dude. Yeah, I don't know. So sometimes, like, we, you know, we're comparing ourselves or our work, and like you kind of mentioned, like, oh, like, I'm, you know, I'm not whack, but maybe I'm intermediate and stuff. And me, this whole time, I kind of look at it as like, how, like, original is your work?
Mm.
How true to yourself are you as an artist?
Mm.
You know, what do you surround yourself with? What's around you? Like, how, like dedicated are you to the game? And that's what, like, the total package makes an artist for me. Because you could be really good and fucking, you know, you're studying it and you're, you know, you have a fucking degree in it and you know your shit and you're hard. But at the end of the day, like, sometimes some of these people, like, they're, you know, they're not, like, sold to the game. Like, they themselves don't believe in themselves, and they don't think anything of it more than a hobby. Whereas me and you, we see this shit as like a lifelong commitment. Like, it's part of us. Like, and although, like, for me too, like, I kind of feel like that. Like, I always feel like I feel like I lack so much, you know, like, discipline and fucking, I still fucking, like, don't, you know, I'm not doing exactly what I should be doing. And I'm always beating myself up for it art wise, you know, and I feel that I could try harder and all these things. But, you know, there's a lot of people that think that, you know, they like my work and they've been collecting it and whatever. And so it's like, you kind of see that, although you're not a Rembrandt yet, or although you're not this other artist yet, you know, like, but we're on that journey and we're, like, way past that, like, early shit, you know, like, this is like years in the making.
Yeah.
And when we're at this level, and when you're at this level, specifically you, about to have your first solo show.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, that's not happening just because it's happening. Like, mm-hmm. it's happening because you've worn these hats and because you've put in this work.
Battling imposter syndrome.
Battling imposter syndrome.
Hey, you know? Mark, nigga, I wasn't even going to go to the closing reception that night. I wasn't going to go, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, okay, it started at 6. I didn't get there till like 7. I was just like, I was like not feeling mentally like being around people.
Yeah.
And then I was like, dude, I just got super bummed out. You know, I was like super down. And then I was like, you did all of this to not go. I was just like, this is the last thing. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, just go. Because I was about to go in the group chat and be like, hey, y'all, I ain't going to show up. But I knew, you know, like, Vickin would come and, like, Jason would come. Yeah. Like, Richard. So I was like, I'm not even going to, like, deal with these niggas coming to my studio being like, what's up? So, uh-huh. yeah, I just went. Mm-hmm. But, it definitely, this side, and I think it's, I never get to talk like this because right. I'm always interviewing yeah. the person. And I feel like it's always like a professional. When I am interviewed, it's like a professional technical sort of thing. It's not like the humanity of James, you know what I'm saying? And like, what is what's ticking on the inside of this?
Yeah. It's just, and it's so hard for like us to observe ourselves as artists too, you know? Cause it's mm-hmm. Like it's hard to see how much progress you've made and stuff and where you're at
mm-hmm.
because we're like living it, you know? And when you're living it, it's like, it's such a part of you that it's hard to distinguish, you know, that it's hard to become an observer of your art.
Mm-hmm.
It really is, you know? And I don't know if it's just, you know, myself, and maybe that's just how I feel and I'm projecting it onto you right now. But yeah, it's hard to see the progress that you make. And, but yeah, like to hear that, you know, like, and things like that, it just, again, it adds to it, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. that's just you, that's who you are. And, but yeah, I mean, I hope that you also realize that you are like, you are a good artist, dude. Like you're, you know, it's not just to say that, but like the way you present it, the way you find a home for these paintings, as far as framing and the presentation and the composition, and you got the fucking like principles, you know, down, like,
you know what,
the fundamentals.
And I appreciate that. It's one of those things where enough people say they like your shit, eventually you're like, okay, well, like, either people just, they're just saying that, or they, so I feel like people are not just saying, hey James, you know, you have like paintings that are nice, but what was the point I was trying to make? Oh, I think it's like someone who's like really, really good looking, right? It's like they can be really, really, it's like the most like good looking person in the world. And everyone says like, mm-hmm. hey, you're fucking good looking. You're great looking. But do they feel that? And like a lot of times the most good looking people, they have low self-esteem. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Some good looking people don't. Some of them have egos, but some of them have. So I wonder, it's like, you know, it's not. Because I wouldn't say that it's comparing myself to other painters. I would say that it's, I feel like there's a, and it's weird because like, you feel, I'm like, okay, well, there's this thing that I want to do and I'm not doing it. And it's like, okay, well, why aren't you doing it? And then it's like, well, at this point in my career, just like how you said, like, you've put in enough work to kind of do the thing you want to do. So mm-hmm. if at this point, if James isn't painting what James wants to paint, it's not because of lack of like ability or lack of like, what you call that? Like technique or my 10,000 hours that I've put in, like all of that shit is like, okay, we've done it, you mm-hmm. know? And there are times, Martica, where I'll be like, okay, you can't say, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Like you've done like all of these paintings. You know what I'm saying? You've been in this. So like, dude, like, it's like riding a bike, you know, but we get in our heads. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm no different. I'm just another guy with a paintbrush. And yeah, man.
So the world wants to know, will you continue painting until the day you die?
Yeah. I plan on it.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I mean, I don't see myself going and doing anything else. And you know, like let's say somehow we get, you know, some traction and this podcast thing, you know, blows up or whatever. Yeah, I think that I'll still paint. Like, I'll still, because there's always things that I want to do. And a lot of people do this, like, you know, I think every artist paints for themselves, but there's also, like, there's the aura of like making people feel something, you right. know, and that's why I think the ultimate kind of level is like when you're making art to make people feel something,
right,
and give back to the universe.
Okay, so now in this VR game, we're gonna go into the menu settings and click on character. Mm. James pops up, he's spinning around.
Bang.
He's got the fly Art and BS jacket.
Ay.
Dreads flowing in the wind.
Yo, yo, yo.
Big ass beard just shining. All the right oils and shit just keeping it right.
This guy's great.
Let's get even a little more vulnerable. And when we paint, you know, we always, again, and I got to stop saying we. I'm going to stop maybe saying I. So when I paint, I like to be like in a certain headspace, and that could mean anything, you know, but I like to be on good vibes and shit. And if that means, you know, I hit the stizzy a couple times and maybe I have a beer or a little glass of wine or maybe a little microdosage shrooms or,
hey.
I don't know, you know, like, you know, as artists, you know, you sometimes like that helps, you know, sometimes just a sober fucking morning. Is there any kind of ritual or any kind, like, you know, type of headspace or substances that you may like to take or something while painting, before painting, anything like that?
You know, what's wild is you know, usually I'm an avid cannabis, you know what I'm saying, medicinal, you know what I'm saying, type of cat. So yeah, we on that type of time. But I think and coffee, you know, but I think psychedelics, as much as I would like to be able to paint on mushrooms, it never seems to work.
Oh, okay.
I'm always like, I'm too, like, I want to, like, and I can do other things, like other creative stuff, like draw or like carve a block or, but it's, but painting, I don't know. I get like this real kind of antsy feeling. Now I'll tell you one painting that I made while I was on psychedelics.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you might have been in Broadway.
I can't hear myself.
Okay, hold on.
Testing. All right, I'm back.
Okay. And Martica's back.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta get some new chords. I think, like, yeah, I mean, I've done DMT and painted before.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
like that,
okay.
Fresno Donut House. I was on like DMT.
Really?
Painting the interior.
Uh-huh. And isn't that short trips or no?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then is there kind of like a little lasting effect for the hour or so? Or?
Yeah, it was, you know, I mean, like, it definitely doesn't last that long, but
mm-hmm.
it's always like an eye-opening experience. And yeah.
So I remember back in the day taking Adderall and painting.
Mm.
That was like some other, like, bro, like I was tidy as shit. Like all my shit was like parallel with each other.
Yeah, that's hard.
And I was painting this,
you got
Bruce
the plug?
Lee. And no, that was like 10 years ago, you know, but yeah, I remember like Vyvanse. I don't know. He used to hit me with all types of shit. And I was like, all right, bro, like, I guess I'm gonna, you know, be up for on some tweaker shit, like,
yeah,
see,
yeah,
sunrise,
future,
sundown.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, but you know, you just, you're on this high, your head's floating, and mm-hmm. you know, like, I've pushed the limits, you know, sometimes with salvia too. I would just drop the fucking pencil, not draw anything, obviously.
Oh, shit. Salvia.
Shrooms, I never tried it though, dude, and I was mm-hmm. curious about it, you know, because I still have some at home.
Yeah, bust that open. Microdose. But I think it also, everybody has a different tolerance. Everybody has a different, you know, how their body reacts to things.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah. So that was that. That was part of that James character.
Mm-hmm. Get past some of these, like, use psychedelics to heal your traumas, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So then we're going to hop into another room, another hat. And this is the marketing hat.
Mm.
This is the art dealer part.
Okay.
And so you know, again, it's just another thing that you have to do as an artist is that imagine us painting and then just like just storing it or not hanging it or and not doing any, not sharing it. Like that would do absolutely nothing. So this shit would just sit in your fucking drawers or whatever, and no one would ever know about it. And you have this love for it and, you know, whatever, but you don't think anything of it. You don't think that it's worthy of the world to see. But us, we don't believe like that. We think we should share this shit. We think that people should collect this shit. We think that our name should get out there on the map and be on some boards. And so what is it that, you know, how do you tackle this? You're a one-man team. I know that you've been trying to look for a trusty assistant to perhaps help you. And if anybody...
One that doesn't have a dude one that's like not trying to... Nah, you can have a dude and we just be on some professional stuff. But if you trying to be slick...
We're not trying to have none of that. So if you feel like you could be a trustworthy person, someone that's
no,
because
for real
art,
though, I do actually like all jokes
send your
aside,
resumes.
Guys. Sure.
So send the resumes. From when you barely started and you realized this is something that I'm gonna do for forever and something that I want to share with the world, was there some type of technique or is there something that you do to advertise your work or
I'm really bad at that and I'm so bad at that
because I am too
for sure and there's like the things you know that I should be doing I should be posting every day and I have a real thing about only posting work that I feel like I should post. I have like all of these paintings that people come in and they like in various stages and I could post them, but I don't because I don't know why.
But it's funny though that like we're at like, we are at least on social media and stuff and like there is some following, you know? And so it's interesting that with our lack of posting, like, but it's still something, huh?
Yeah.
Like, at least with the podcast, you're usually on it about sharing.
Yeah, and I try to be, but that's because I have to. It's weird. Also, I think the podcast, I'm on it because it directly affects other people. And, like, my art, I feel like if I drop the ball, it just affects me. So only I'm disappointed in me.
My grandma used to bump this shit, dude.
right, yeah. So that's one of the things. But I think that, you know, with marketing, I'm always... Okay, so here, this is a great... let's talk about it. So when I first... got into art, I was like trying to go and get art shows, right? And I had no paintings. And I was just like, hey, you know, I had like two or three paintings. I was trying to go. And then like, oh, I'll just paint for the show. And now I'm more focused on like making the work and then forging relationships, but not thinking that it's going to be, I'm going to go out, meet someone, and then the art show comes from right there. I understand that it's like this cycle of meeting the person and building rapport and them figuring out if your work can fit with, you know, the place that they represent. So I think now more opportunities are coming along, but then at the same time, I'm approaching stuff way differently than I used to.
Right. Wow, that's awesome, man. And okay, so I guess I kind of want to hop out of that room now, you know, out of the marketing room. And, you know, we talked a little bit about it and you know, heard some of your practices and stuff. And then I guess this is probably one of the last rooms, at least for the main kind of primary things in your life. Okay. And that's this podcast, you know, Art and BS. It comes such a long way from the early episodes on the S7. I know you recently talked about that. And to where it's at now, like, is it kind of like mind-blowing? Is it something that it started as this little fire just to keep you warm, and then now it's turned into this like full-blown like heating unit that like everyone can put on their, you know, in their house and enjoy? Like, it started as this like intimate thing, and did you see it becoming this brand that it is now with its logo and with the drops and the whole kind of vibe that it's had this whole time, you know?
You know what's interesting is I've always I've done media in different forms. In seventh grade, we had at Fort Miller, we had a radio station, mm-hmm. and so every morning I would read the news.
Like on the intercom or whatever.
Yeah, and then they kicked me off because I played Wu-Tang Clan, Cream is super. Yeah, no. I played Cream like for homeroom. So it was like 8 in the morning, and then Cream just comes over the line. I grew up on the crime side, New York Times side. Yeah, they wasn't feeling that. In high school, I was like, we had a school paper, and I had a column, uh-huh. James's Kung Fu Corner, review Kung Fu movies.
James's Kung Fu Corner, mm-hmm. dude, no way. Yeah.
So
that's hard.
Yeah, man. So I think like it's always been something that I've been into, and looking now, like it's kind of like, well, if I was to bet on me and I wasn't me, I would say like, okay, well, if you have $100, is James going to blow up in painting or is he going to blow up in podcasting? I would put my $100 on blowing up in podcasting, mm-hmm. even though I put more energy into painting. I feel like the podcast is a thing that's really like where the value's at. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like I'm bringing like value, or at least attempting to, and able to get some pretty clowning guests, you know? So, I mean, we're just starting. We've been doing this for a few years. And you know, I mean, like we don't even have like a real website. We don't even have nothing. It's just like Instagram and that's it, you know? And like, I mean, really, mm-hmm. you know,
but
that's
you can
it.
Find it anywhere at the end of the day. Like,
I mean, y'all know where we at. You listen, you know, wherever you're on Apple or Spotify or iHeartRadio or Google Podcasts. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
Like right? Deep in the trenches of podcasts. You
but
know?
But my thing is like, okay, so what happens once James actually has some extra funding to get a real website so we can put like a store on there with podcast merch and have like have the interviews like debut on the website and have mm-hmm. videos and have, you know, a little calendar with everybody's show that's popping up. Like there's things that I see this podcast turning into, and I'm like, okay, yeah, this is, I mean, the ability of me to do an interview, that's there, but I just have to get in a place mm-hmm. where I can get more visibility, because what I figured out, just because James cares about somebody doesn't mean the listeners care about somebody. Mm-hmm. So I could want to interview let's see. I was trying to, because it's like if you say the wrong name, then it sounds real bad. I'm trying to think of like a real big artist who I thought, oh, okay, so like Rachel Dolezal. Like I thought that episode was going to do like 50K because I was like, okay, she's on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's the whole like, but what people wanted is like they don't want some like real honest, like real intelligent interview. They want like some salacious.
Yeah.
And because it's like, and there's jokey moments and stuff like uh-huh. that, but like our number one episode is a graffiti writer who has no social media.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it definitely showed me that who the people want to hear from and who James thinks is going to do a great, like do numbers or, and like, you know, I've learned anytime I do, and I wouldn't say, and Rachel, I really just want to interview her. Cause you know, like
right.
she fascinates me even to this day. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, yo, hey, what's up? You know, we stay in contact cause she's cool peeps. Like mm-hmm. after I kind of got to know her, I was like, okay, Rachel, she cool. I think that was me. Or okay. you were, we just got to get new cords, man. Just, but we all, but that's why I'm trying to sell these shirts.
Yeah.
And see, the thing is like, and let's talk about this. So like with the whole podcast, my thing is like equipment, travel, and all of the things that go in, like marketing, and it's all kind of on me. So I have to figure out like where's the give at, you know, mm-hmm. like, okay, so you sell a painting, you buy some new cords, you like do this, you do that, you do this, you do that. And that's why I try to, you know, I'm trying to supplement, fuck it, man. You know, like hitting people up, being like, yo, we got the Cash App at the beginning of the episode. If you like what you hear, you know, donate to the PayPal and stuff. Because honestly, it's so hard sometimes, like, to ask for help. But then at the same time, I had to think about like, wait, hold on, James. You started off with a cell phone. You came up. Now you have professional equipment. You rolled around the country. You got legendary artists on. You got graffiti writers who don't even do interviews to give like comprehensive, like great talks. So you should it's like a tip, like a bartender or a barista. Like, and then I start thinking like, whoa, like, damn, do I not value myself to that extent to where I don't think this episode is worth a dollar? Like, mm-hmm. And then I had to think about it. I was like, whoa, like the fact that you're having battles with telling everybody, hey, I've been like doing all, and not to say like, oh, whatever, but just being transparent and vulnerable. Like I called, you know, we had John Dalton on, mm-hmm. He's from Ireland. I messed around, called Ireland, did that episode. It was $500. Like, you know, let's see what some other crazy stuff. Oh, so you know, like that run of the Indianapolis run right before we like episodes. What is that, like 134? It's like Sixth Sense, Dr. Dortch, or it's Dr. Dortch, Sixth Sense, like. Then I get interviewed, and then Rebecca Robinson. So I went out to Indianapolis, mm-hmm. because my brother, like, he got murdered, you know? Mm-hmm. So I had to go to a funeral, and like Pops is grieving, you know what I'm saying? So I'm out there, I'm grieving, I'm there, you know, holding it down for the family. But at the same time, it's like, my dad told me, he said, son, you can't get lit, like here, like chilling with me, like hit the streets. So mm-hmm. I'm out there, you know, recording episodes and scheduling episodes when these people can do it. So if I have to be at Senses, like stop hanging with my homie, because Sixth Sense is like, hey, you want to do a podcast at 9 o'clock, and this is the only time he can do it. Go to his studio, pod from 9 until 2 a.m., mm-hmm. wake up at like, you know, 7, be at the next episode at 10, and then be at the next episode at 1, you right. know what I'm saying? And right. this is like 2 days after the funeral, and you're just like, you're making this stuff happen and putting out quality content, because it's like, hopefully my whole thing is like, I want people to feel good because I feel shitty. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? So if I can like, you know, forget about the stuff that's all, you know, weird in my life while I make this episode and make you guys feel great, then that's my escape. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right. Wow, man, that was a lot right there, that, you know? Yeah, but that's true though, you know? It's, I mean, at the end of the day, like the listeners and like the people that show love and support and, you know, like fucking continue to go with us on this journey. And like, I mean, that like means the world, you know, like,
yeah,
man. I don't know. Cause it takes a lot to buy art, you know, like mm-hmm. it really does. And cause it's like, there's artists everywhere, you know, and it's such a flooded market, but again, to see like the people that kind of shine more than others and to realize like what's kind of, you know, I don't know, like it's a good thing that people do, you know. And I always like, I'm like humbled when like someone wants some of my work, you know, because it's like, damn, like there's so much out there, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think also the thing about artists, and you know, we're in an age where people expect us to be Amazon. Like, I need you to make the thing, I need you to get the thing packaged, I need you to ship the thing, and at a very low rate. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. it's like, we've all kind of, I order things off Prime. I'm guilty as, you know, the next person. But also I think that it's important for us to like, people, the human factor looks good on a t-shirt, right? But like in practice, it's okay dealing with these people and they have all of these things going on. And at the end of the day, people just want something nice. You know, like they mm-hmm. don't want the attachment. They don't care that like you haven't sold a painting in XYZ and like you're knocking this amount off your initial price just to, you know, get food. Or they don't like, there's all of these things that I feel like as artists we experience that is just, it's like behind the curtain because people think we're magicians. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, you were, God snapped his fingers and you were born with this innate talent and mm-hmm. it takes no hard work. And I wish I could draw. And yeah. It's like, dude, yeah. It's time. It's work. It's people telling you, James, you're not a fine artist. It's people telling you, hey, you need to get your chops up. It's people telling you, hey, man, that shit's trash. Mm-hmm. It's all of this stuff. And it's keep working through it. It's, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Like being in graffiti, like, you know, people telling you you're a toy, you know, and it's like, and working through that. But mm-hmm. then 2 years later, that same person that told you you're a toy is your painting partner, and they're calling you to like go to the Dukes, all like, yo, shout out to Georgetown, y'all know what's up, Seattle, you know what I'm saying, y'all know what's up. But and just boom, you know, because I know there were members of my graffiti crew who initially moving to Seattle is like a hazing sort of thing. So I'm always trying to not sweat and like show a cool thing. Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like no matter what I'm going through, mm-hmm. I don't want to like that to influence the person's interaction with my work.
Right. But doesn't that feel cool that artists that like we looked up to at one point now, like they see us in that same light of like respect and stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. Like there was like dudes that like when I was in high school, a freshman, they were seniors, and they were like that cool, you know, part of the cool like crews and like, mm-hmm. you know, like the bigger crews and stuff. And you just always kind of like looked up to them, and, you know, maybe every now and then they talk to you. But then over the years, you know, you like they see your work and then they start to admire it, and then they reach out to you. And that's always kind of tripped me out, how I was like, wow, like I used to think these dudes were like way too cool for me to maybe even like fuck with them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But now like they're like looking up to my shit, like asking about like maybe a piece or two, or mm-hmm. and it's kind of a trip, you know, because it's like, oh damn, like and it's happened to me a few times, like yeah. you know, with like some like names that I always kind of thought were like bigger and like, you know, like
mm-hmm.
and I looked up to them a lot, and then to now be trading pieces or shit,
yeah,
like that with them, like
it's hard.
Yeah, it's kind of a trip, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the whole thing about art though, is what you put in is what you get out.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it's the person who's willing to put in to get out, because what do I have to lose? You know, like I'm already starting, you know, like not being, you're already looking up at these people. They're already a generation ahead of you, or like mm-hmm. a bracket more experienced than you, like, oh, okay. But then with hard work, you can kind of catch up. And that's the cool thing about art, is like, if you just put the time in, you can really get to a point where it's like, oh shit, like this guy, and I've seen it, you know? And I think that, like, you know, with myself, I know that I've improved, because I look at older paintings,
mm-hmm.
but it's, you know, you always are shooting for the stars and hopefully right. hitting the moon.
Right. Quick question, James, if you could live in any time period, future or present, past, what would it be, and where would the setting be too? Like what country, or would you stay here in the US or?
Yeah, right now in the US. Part of me wants to say like 20, bruh, this is like so annoying. I get into chorus. Okay, what? Okay, boom. This is so annoying. I think.
Okay.
There we go.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a really good time. So right now.
Whoa, because, okay, right now, the present.
Yeah, and here's why. Because a lot of, I don't know where Black people's freedoms would be, like, because if I was born in like the 1800s, I would have been a slave. Like there are a lot of time periods I was born, I'd be black, right? So uh-huh. it's like, and then the future, this is a good time, but also I feel like the generation, like right now, that this is a pretty good time, because I feel like it's a great boom for artists. I feel like people of color, they can't openly hate on us like that no more. It's like, it's cool to accept people of color, you know, whereas like it used to not be cool. And it's like, I mean, because think about like growing up, it wasn't like they're the people who were like on that type of time, they were kind of like outcasts, like, you know, the white girl with all the Black friends, or like the white girl with all the Mexican friends, or like the white Mexican boy, or like they were kind of like, but now it's like everyone wants to run toward the culture. You know what I'm saying? Everyone wants to have a gold-plated necklace, you know, but it was a different type of vibe back then. So I feel like now's a pretty good time with, like, inclusivity. So, yeah, man, probably now.
That's amazing, mm-hmm. dude.
Because and, also and we have resources. Think, yeah,
and you know what? That was kind of a trick question because that's the only right answer, you know? Fuck out of here with that fucking 1700s
yeah, man.
In France, you know?
Yeah,
like,
man.
You know, I'm not trying
catch
to hear
the
that.
Plague or something.
Yeah, dude.
You
like
know what I'm saying? They had no vaccines.
Yeah, like it's good. You know, your answer is a little more profound than being basic. It's being present. Mm-hmm. You know, and and like ultimately, like that's the shit that's gonna like take you to the top. Is because like if you're focused on the past, you're not gonna get anywhere.
Mm.
If you're anxious about the future, you know, it's like that real, just grounding. You know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, James, I don't, you know, I think that my energy is slowly dying. I think, you know, it's my first interview. I've never interviewed anyone and, I don't know. I mean, I hope I did good. I hope, you know, people enjoyed it and I don't know. It's just, you could be anywhere on the planet, but you're here right now. You could be doing anything, you know, but, you decided to listen to this to continue to support. And if you made it to the end, well, shit, I don't know. You know, thank you. once again, I mean, I could maybe let James kind of close it out, see if he has any last minute thoughts or anything. He's good.
Can I get some shout outs?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Shout outs to you.
Okay.
Shout outs to Weldon. Shout outs to RMBS family. Yeah. You know, shout outs to Coffee. Shout outs to Honesty. Shout outs to Integrity. Shout outs to everyone who has supported me through anything, whether it's fucking picking up my phone call or, you know, buying a piece of art or sharing my artwork or listening to the podcast or, you know, any of that stuff. Popping out to Art Hop, you know, giving me a hug, shaking my hand, you know what I'm saying? Like, in any form of support, I would say, yeah, shout out to y'all. And yeah, I think that that my show is going to be this week in Hoi Polloi Gallery, Indianapolis, Indiana, Midwest pull up. We'll be back in Fresno next month. And I'm trying to think, you can catch me on the web. All my stuff is in the description. And, do I do the thing or do you, I do the thing, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
You could be anywhere on the internet, but you're here with us and we appreciate that. Catch us again next week. Same BS time, same BS channel. Once again, this some shit I just thought of y'all. Scientific fiction that's not admissible in no court of law. I'm out of here like Vladimir. James and Martica, you know what I'm saying? We out. Yep. Hey, and also, man, hold on real quick before we do that. Martica actually has a podcast, you guys, and it's been dormant for a minute. If you guys are interested, he was cooking. It's called Mars Is Far. It's on like streaming platforms. You can just Google it, Mars Is Far. Mm-hmm. But he did a lot of research and he put a lot of effort into his episodes. And I was really, at the time, I was kind of goofing around. I really didn't start researching until the John Dalton episode, but like, mm-hmm. He really would put a lot of time. And so if you guys are interested, check him out. And yeah, you know, because that was kind of cool. And,
thanks, man. Yeah.
You know, and make sure you follow Martica online because he's a great guy, great podcast host. And I told you from the dough, I told you from the get-go, you don't got to go home, but you got to go.
Art and Bullshit Podcast.